said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go and I will enter, and I will enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter his court with all my praise, and I will say that my Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made. I will enter, and I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter his gates, and I will say, hallelujah.
And I will say, this is the day
that my Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, yes, he has
made me glad.
Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made. He has made me glad. Oh, yes, he has
made me glad.
Oh,
he has made me glad.
I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. When they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord, and I will enter, and I will enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter
his court with all my praise,
and I will say,
this is the day
that my Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, yes.
He has made me glad.
Oh, yes.
He has made me glad.
Ooh. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh,
he has made me glad.
Oh, yes. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I was glad when they said unto me, 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 go into the house of the Lord. Amen.
You're thinking, how bad I need this place.
Amen.
As I get older, I realize more and more how bad I need this place. As the world gets uglier, I realize how beautiful it is here. You know, when I come here, you got to push things away.
Yeah.
You can't drag anything in here.
No, don't
It'll hinder you getting away. You'll be tripping over it. You'll be thinking about it.
No distractions.
You got to be able to push everything out. That's really being spiritual there.
Yeah.
When you can push away every lie, everything you didn't do, shouldn't have done, whatever, you can push it away. You come in here. That's why these songs, it sets your mind straight.
Yeah.
Set your mind to holiness.
Yeah.
You know, you focus on why you're here.
Ready.
You focus on your purpose in this life.
Yeah.
But the real you.
Yeah.
The real thing comes out.
Yeah.
So, the devil talked to you. Oh, you did this and you didn't do that.
Yeah.
You wasted time here, you know, and you know better than this. And the lying devil. I'm a son of God.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna focus on temporal things.
I made time for the needful things.
I'm focused on the eternal things.
Right.
But the song says, build your hope on things eternal. Think on things eternal.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Children said, so think on these things.
Yeah.
Think constantly. Give yourself wholeheartedly to it. I forget that scripture, but so many scripture.
Yeah.
To give yourself to it. Meditate on these things.
Yeah.
Day and night. You know, you gotta give so much to the world.
Yeah.
But when you're done with that, what you gotta do. Then look at what you really should be, what you need to do.
Yeah, what you need.
And it takes an effort.
Yeah.
It don't come natural. But you lean into that. He'll lean back.
Amen.
You know, I don't know how many times you're sitting there and you're feeling carnal. You're feeling this, that, and the other. I get alone somewhere. You know, everybody got their alone place. I sing about Brother Childers. He liked that front swing, that front porch swing.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be sitting there. More often than not.
Yeah.
And as I get older, I know why he's sitting there.
Yeah.
You get quiet there.
Yeah.
You're not focused on the things of the world. You're not focused on the what happened, what didn't happen, what you got to do. You focus on him. And you're just sitting there. And really, you know, it's not something you got to work up or anything. It's just something you got to allow.
Yeah.
Because it's in you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to pump him up, pull him down.
Yeah,
you just simply, you know, I was telling Brother Moore the other day. I said, I'm not a prayer warrior. Never have been, don't ever expect to be.
That's too late in the game now.
I mean, there are those that pray. But my heart, you know, Paul said, like he told me, Paul said continually in prayer.
Right.
Continually in supplication. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always there. It's always with me. It's always doing things. It's always talking to me. You know, there's voices. I hear Brother Childers' voice all the time. I hear Brother Moore's voice all the time. I hear different ones, you know.
Yeah.
Things that mean something. Things that God used to deal with me. You know, I let those things have preeminence in my life.
Amen.
You know, and that's the whole thing. Just realizing who you are, letting him have his way.
Yes. Yes.
And just letting it be. Letting Amen. Just being who you are. You know that it's not just in the flesh. You know, we can just be ourselves, be who we are because God's got it. But in the spiritual.
Amen.
I can only be a son of God. There's only one life in me.
Right.
I'm just a son of God. And it's Amen. Got preeminence in my life.
Amen.
It's a control tower. In other words, it controls the rest of it.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about it. That within my soul, it controls the rest of it.
Yeah, it'll take care of it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Spurries.
Amen. Amen. But the Lord has given me another day.
Yes.
I have life, health, and strength. I'm blessed. I'm healed, I'm redeemed,
Amen.
I'm revelated, and I have time to worship.
Amen.
You know, this world and a lot of the stuff that goes on is nothing but a distraction to me. And if you best let it get on your mind, like Brother Diskin said, it'll make you forget who you are. But when I came in those doors to hear from on high, and I will,
Amen.
And I came to worship,
Amen.
And there ain't no better time than to just dissolve. I'm gonna get mine. I believe in jumping in the deep end right away.
Right.
How about a D? Can I get a D?
Keep D.
You know, it don't matter if you can sing. I came to worship.
Right.
Yes. My heart was distressed. Need to hold was dreadful. And low in the pit where my sin dragged me down.
write me a song.
Let me tell you this. He bought me out.
Yes, he did.
I didn't bring myself out.
He did.
He came and got me.
Yeah.
He will never leave me or forsake me.
No.
I'm about to take a lap around the church.
Go ahead and do it. Take it. Take your lap.
Oh, can I take a lap?
Yeah, take it.
Go ahead.
Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Amen. Well, that's Sister Christy.
I want to say something real quick and get myself here before I stay in that seat. But I just have something I want to say because I thank God for the strength he's given me.
Amen.
You know, I can just look back from where I come from to where I am now, and it's I marvel at it, and I thank God. You know, last Sunday when they had gone to London, which was the church, as you all know, where I had come from, I sat in that car driving, and I was like, I was nervous.
Sure.
You know, because they never heard me play. They never knew I could play the flute. So I thought, oh, this is going to be something. So I sat there, but I was fine. I said, you know what? You know, when I walked in there, I may have had some stones in my bag that was heavy. But when I walked in those doors, I set my staff, I said, you know, I got this. You know, God is with me. Who am I playing? He told me to do this.
Yeah,
you know,
he told me
to do this.
Yeah.
Because it's something I need to overcome. The more I play in front of everybody, the easier it gets. So, you know, when I got up here, and I thank AJ and Sister Carice for being up there with me. And I thought, you know, after we say, I'm like, ooh, the body's behind me. I got some strength. There
you got soldiers behind
me. I got this. So, you know, I played, and, you know, and I wasn't expecting a word from them to say anything, but what I got for me was I did what God told me to do.
Yeah.
I overcame these things that were over me. I did what he told me to do, and I thank, you know, each and every one of you, my brothers and sisters, for the encouragement you've given me, because you just don't know what I came from to get up here to even talk, to play the flute.
Yeah.
I played at a funeral
just
now, and I'm like, I'm pushing out there.
Amen.
And, you know, and I love it. I have family asking me to play for parties. I'm like, you know, so so I thank God for what I'm overcoming and, yes, what he's telling me to do, because I'm like, who's going to win, the devil or God? And God won that day, because I said I'm thankful for what, you know, just everything that he's given me. And I keep thinking, God, you know, he's telling me, people would say these people are blessed, but I'm blessed.
Yeah.
Because I'm a part of it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, part
I'm like,
of
it's no longer, oh, you guys are I'm blessed too.
Yeah.
We're a part of one body.
Yeah.
So I'm just thankful for God for that.
Amen.
So
God bless you. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Lockett. They're getting their song together.
I just want to thank God for being here this morning.
Amen.
It's wonderful to hear the nice testimony. But mine is just real short. It's not I that live it, but him that live it in me.
In me. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Brother Lockett. Sister Joy.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated.
Glory.
Amen. Amen, brother.
You're worthy, Lord. Thank you.
seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day.
Brothers, come and get the offering. A couple announcements. We got March 9th. Brother Jeremiah is going to be preaching in Little Bethlehem. Brother Jeremiah, is it open for a couple people to go?
Yeah.
I'd like to get on that list, if you don't mind. Put it out there real quick. Let it be known there. Then March 17th, we got stuff going. We got a fellowship there. But just an update for Easter, it's earlier than we normally do it, so make sure we got our calendars marked. So it's Saturday, April 1st. We're going to be doing an evening service at 7 p.m. Brother Tony Girabisa will be preaching on Saturday evening at 7, and then Sunday morning we're having service as well, but we're having a meal right after that. So there's two services there, and then pray for Pastor and Brother Doug, because right after that they go to the Philippines, so remember that. Brother Kevin, God bless you. I heard you announced that you and Sister Sway are getting married, and you know, in that announcement, Brother Kevin was like, you know, right now it's going to be this date, and you know, tentatively you guys are all invited. No pressure, Sway. If you invite 10 of us, fine. If you don't invite any of us, fine. We know how this works. We don't want to put no pressure on you. I've been at a wedding with 200 people, wedding with 5 people. No pressure. Pick what you're going to do, and we're going to be all right with it. Come on up. Come on up and give us the update on it. You're going to be there.
James, Thursday, this coming Thursday, I want to bring the young people one more time and practice a couple songs.
Thursday, young people practicing. Go ahead, Sister Sway.
So, you know, I always express that this is our family away from our family, and I don't plan on reneging on people not coming to the wedding. And I'm a little bit different and simple with things. Like, literally, I'm going to put a box back there with RSVPs, and you'll have 30 days to put it in there. I'm not going to mail out. I think it's a waste of stamps when I'm seeing everybody.
There you go. Uh-oh.
I'm kind of like Pastor Moore. I keep things simple. I even told my friend who's catering, I said, look, we're keeping it simple. She's like, don't you want to have this? Don't you want to have this? I was like, nope. You know, when I start seeing dollar signs and stuff like that, I'm like, no. Because one thing, I'm kind of like with Pastor Moore, what my dad had taught me, he said, you know, when you get married and you spend all this money, who's going to fill it after the wedding? Yeah. Not you guys.
Yeah, no, we don't.
Just
care.
Like the invitations I got off of Amazon. Like I told Kevin, we're the only one that's going to keep it for a scrapbook. Everybody else is going to throw them away. Let's be honest. You only can keep so many cards. Because me and my son always talk about, like, Mom, how long do you keep a card? Yeah, I was like, well, with you guys, I try to keep them as long as I can because they're my children's cards. But, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about real quick with marriage. Kevin's more private than I am. I'm a little more open because I'm one of those ones, because he's like, you're not scared to tell people. Aren't you scared they're going to throw it in your face? No, because I'm the type of person to tell you, aren't I the one who told you that?
Yeah.
So you can't throw something in my face that I told you. And even if you think you can throw it in my face, it don't mean nothing, for real.
Right.
That's just me. But, you know, it took us a long time to get married because our relationship moved very fast. And the reason it moved fast, you guys might have known this, but I lost everything when I met Kevin. I went through a really bad divorce. It's different being in a relationship with Kevin. Like, he had to figure out everything. Like, he's not an animal person. I am. I had children. He never had children. You know, he's very neat. I mean, when I say neat, it's not your normal neat. Like, I'm Asian, so I drop my shoes off at the door. Kevin's always behind me, picking them up, putting them, you know, or getting my purse and hanging it on the door. I had talked to Pastor Moore in the very beginning of our relationship. Like, it was, you know, we wasn't sure if we were going to stay in the relationship. Like I said, he was always a good man. I used to always tease him and say, you'll make a great husband to somebody. But, you know, my ex-husband was very possessive. Like, I always thought, you know, my family thought the same thing, that I would die getting out of the marriage. I mean, he was, where you at? Where you been? How many minutes, you know, you've been gone? You know, me and him and my sister used to fight all the time, and my parents used to worry about me because he was very possessive over me. He was very controlling. And for 20 years, I lived that way. And one thing I would tell women, when you have a woman's intuition, God put that there. Yeah. I mean, I used to ask him for so many signs. Should I leave him? Should I leave him? He gave me one of the biggest signs I could not deny. My marriage ended in 24 hours. It was a big one. It was a big blow to me and my children. They've never seen their father since that day. So I used to tell Kevin, like, I have so much baggage. I wish I would have met him down the road. But I'm so blessed to have him.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And he made it through with me. Amen. And what really made more blessing to me is how sick I've been, and he's been by my side. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that has really seen how sick I've been, you know. And then my issues with my daughter, you know, that's been a very big stress for him, you know. And Pastor Moore knows what that's about, you know. And she has every right to be angry and sad and messed up behind it. But I am truly blessed. For you guys, I got to know Sister Belinda a little bit more on Sunday. I'm so blessed for that. All the sisters in the house, Judy, Renee, I mean, everybody, Sue, everybody has been a blessing to me here.
Amen.
And you guys are my family outside of my family. Amen. You know, I have a great family, but this is wonderful. And I'm, like I said, and for someone, the first question for him to ask me if I had God, I knew, you know what I'm saying? I knew. And it did take us 6 years, but we had to get to know each other. We had to figure out, could we do this?
Right.
Could two people merge that come from two different worlds, you know? And marriage isn't no joke. I was married for 20 years, and I would have probably still been in my marriage unhappy had he never did some of the things that he did, but I didn't have no choice ending my marriage. I believe in marriage. I believe in the commitment of marriage. I believe in all that. So I just want to say again, everybody is invited. I am thankful for the whole body, and I am blessed to be here.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Isaiah, you're the last one.
Ella. That was the most beautiful testimony I've heard. Thank you so much for that, sis. And I'm so glad to be here. And like Sister Clary said, I'm just really grateful for my health. You know, we just take it so for granted, you know, the ability to be able to wake up every morning and do what we do. And when that's compromised, you can't really do the things you do. And, you know, I was telling Pastor last night, I was like, you know, I thank God that he just put it in our bodies for our bodies to heal itself, you know?
Yeah.
And he does that. And I kind of got to rebuke myself because as I was watching online on Wednesday, getting my TV dinner, God rebuked me. Because, you know, Micah, before church had started, he was kind of rushing me to get him out the door and stuff to get here because Beth was going to bring him here. And he was kind of rude about it, you know, just real adamant and just real forceful and stuff. I'm like, hey, listen, you got to chill out, you know. And it was just something in him, you know. He had that unction to get here early. And as soon as they walked in the doors, the preaching started. And I'm like, oh, Lord, okay. I'm sorry, you know, that's just what happens when you're not sensitive enough to pick up what God's trying to do. And you don't want to take anybody in here lightly, even the little kids.
Amen.
You know, the little kids, they'll tell you what God's wanting you to know. If you're not sensitive enough to pick that up, you will miss him. It's so easy to miss. It's easier to miss God than to pick him off. So I was so blessed because of what Brother Jay preached. He was talking about when Uzzah died, trying to, you know, do God a service, thinking they were helping God by getting that cart, getting the Ark of the Covenant when it fell off that cart. And I'm glad that he left a little bit of meat on the bone, because that Ark of the Covenant went to Obed-Edom's house. And Obed-Edom was blessed. And it just, you know, God just revealed himself, and he was just telling me, you know, wherever that ark was, the blessing was there. Liberty was there. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And that same God then, that was in a box, that's the same God that's dwelling right here. Amen. You can't just handle the bride any old way. When you go out there, God wants to be handled a specific way. And had he, like Jay said, stuck to what the prophet was trying to say and handled him right, he would have been okay. But he went through the molly grubs for 90 days. And we all been there. You know, I just got out of the molly grubs. And, you know, I'm just glad that I have something within me to help me overcome. Yeah. That's the same thing that was in that box that's giving the blessings. I am the blessing. Like the sis said, I'm the blessing. Yeah. For this age, final voice of the final age. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Let's sing Blessed Assurance and get him up. Key of D, 176 in the Only Belief. Amen. Yes, sir.
Will you fix that rope for Brother Moore? I sure will.
Page 176, Key of D. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm heir of salvation, purchased of God. My story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Oh,
last verse, perfect submission.
Perfect submission. All is at rest. I am my Savior. Am happy and blessed.
What are we doing now?
Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love.
Yes,
this is my story. Savior all the day long, and this is my story. Yes, this is my song. I'm praising my Savior. This is my story. Yes, this is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Yes, this is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Thank you for this story. This is your story. Father, I am so pleased to be a part of it, to know that you have selected me to play a role in manifesting you on this earth. You've, Lord, allowed this bride to manifest you all down through the ages. Lord, that Ark of the Covenant's been with us the whole time, walking with us in each age. And Lord, we come to a point in the service here today that we set aside for you to just come and speak to our hearts. You know those who are sick this morning that couldn't be here, ask you to send forth your word and touch them in their home. Ask you to move on behalf of Sister Donna, Brother Trevor, different ones, John and Dawn. Just, I always keep them before you, knowing that, Lord, they're still in the recovery process. Ask you to be with those who've had surgery and those dealing with COVID, Lord, and those are sick around the world that know you. And if they know you, they know that, Lord, by your stripes, they're already healed. So we want to thank you this morning for the healing power of Jesus Christ that's alive and well in the lives of the believers. And Lord, now that we set aside this time, we have the Bible open here, the word. I can't go any further than that. Pray that you bind any hindrance that might try to hinder your word from coming forth, and loose us, your spirit, that you could speak to our hearts, and not just the speaker, Lord, but also be in the hearers' hearts, that they can receive that we have for them this morning. Thank you for this body here and the love that we know is in amongst us. And Father, ask you to just move here, move in this place today. Lord, the song says we need to hear from you. And that's what we want this morning. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. I don't know, sometime it seemed like it's been a long time since we've been here. And we were just together on Wednesday, but it seemed like that was a long time ago. And Brother Branham said it would be that way, that we would long to see each other and miss each other such that we can't wait until we get back together again. And it's good to be here. It's good to have you all here. And, you know, it's no good for me to have been here if you weren't here, because it takes both the speaker and the hearer to be able to really make the full cycle of God's Word. See, this is what God's always wanted. He wanted to be able to talk about himself, and he wanted to be able to amen himself. Because he could swear by none greater than himself. So that's the way God likes it. So, you know, he's never going to move again from us. Just think about it. He's come through time. He's come through all kind of changes and things. But when he's moved into his bride, he's moved into a place where he's going to live for eternity. And I'm thankful for that. It's good to have you here. I'm excited about Sway and Kevin, and you know, it's good. And it's good because, you know, you need to do things. You need to do it the right way, and they wanted to make sure that they're doing it the right way, and I applaud that. And you know, people might criticize and move. Oh, so long with this. They criticize everything anyway. So I don't worry about the critics. You know, if they would take a little time and look at what the Word says, they wouldn't be so critical in their judgments. But I appreciate them taking the time to make it right and do it right, because some people rush into marriage and next thing you know, they're rushing out of marriage. You know, and over, I don't know what the number is now, and I know at one point over 60%, probably more than like over 70% of marriages end up in divorce. That means one out of every three weddings you would go to, or no, just to say you know, one out of every three marriages end up in divorce. So the world is falling apart. And to see people want to do the right thing and want to do it the right way, I can appreciate that, and I've talked to them and been with them the whole way through, and you know, I appreciate them doing this next step. So God bless them. And that means is for the next couple of months we're going to be talking about marriage. You know, because you know, I want it right. And you know, we ain't talking about anything that we haven't already talked about. Everything we've talked about with marriage, we've already talked about. So it's nothing new. I don't understand how it didn't catch to some people. And it's like they didn't hear it when it was preached or something. And, you know, the man didn't take his role serious, and the woman didn't take her role serious. And she's trying to be him, and he's trying to be her, and he submits to her. And the whole thing turns into a mess. And I've seen it over and over again. So here we are again. Got another couple coming up. And, you know, I like to talk about marriage and let them know that, hey, this is the right way to go. This is the right thing to do. And so if you turn with me over here, I want to go over to Genesis chapter 24. Because I thought this was a good place to start. And we want to read here just about 8 verses here. And when we read these verses, then we'll go from there. Genesis chapter 24, starting at verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto the eldest servant of his house, which was Eliezer, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Verse 3. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shouldest not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, amongst whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I need bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou comest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bringest not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from my, and the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, Unto thy seed I will give thee land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Do you want to title this, The Right Kind of Marriage?
Amen.
And I wanted to start here because I'm always excited talking about Abraham. And Abraham is our father of faith. And the show, there's some things, even just reading this again this morning, I'm looking down through there, it says, you know, Abraham believed God. He wholly believed God. And whenever somebody tried to bring anything other than what God told him, he turned it down. Now here is a servant who was trying to do him a service. He said, well, why don't I just take your son with me? And Abraham's, no, God didn't take me out of the world to put me back in the world. See, that's I just saw that reading. So Abraham, he loved God, and he stood with God's word. Our first problem that we have as people is we don't stay with God's word. We have a better idea, have a better way of getting the job done, another route that we want to take, an easier way. A lot of times it sounds like it's easier because it's much easier to take Isaac down there and let him pick one out. That's the easier way. But there was no faith in that. Right. See, when you don't have nothing to depend on, there's no faith there. Oh, you could snatch up a woman, and Isaac could have snatched him up one, but it wasn't about the woman. It wasn't about the one that he was going to pick. Matter of fact, Isaac didn't even know who she was until he saw her. That's faith. See, we don't even know what it is to serve God by faith. We're so busy to having to have control over everything, have to have answers to everything, have to know everything, got to have all. That's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Abraham did not know Rebecca. He didn't know who his wife was going to be. He said, well, that's in that day. You know, that was, God bless him. That's back in the day where they just took a woman and married her and made a home. You know what? If they did that then and it worked, it's working a whole lot better than what we're doing now. They got a wife and they got married and they stayed together for the rest of their lives. Now they're married and given in marriage. You know, that's what Luke said they was going to do because of the end time. That's what we're in. So even if you say, well, that was old-fashioned the way they did it, that old-fashioned way worked. You say, well, we don't do that no more. Maybe you should. Maybe you should check a little closer before you say I do. Maybe you should take 6 years. Maybe take a little longer to find out if she's real, if he's real or not. Poke it a little bit and see if it's going to bite you. Learn who they are. Learn what you're getting into. Because as far as I'm concerned, when marriage is said and done and when you take those vows, that's the end of it. I don't ever expect you to come back to me and ask for anything else. I really don't expect you to come and ask me to divorce you. I don't expect you to come and ask me if I can do differently. I don't expect you. I'm like, well, you know, and wives, when you get to the marriage part, I'll say, ask your husband at home. Ask your husband. I do it all the time. I ask your husband. If you're going to learn something, ask him at home. He said, well, why you got to do that? Because that's what the Bible says to do. You know, I'm still a believer of the word of God. You know, I still believe that God has a way of doing things. I still believe that there's an order to the way that God's going to do anything. And if you're going to learn anything, wives, ask your husband at home. You say, well, I don't have a husband. Then ask me. Because I'm your spiritual husband here in the house of God. That's what I'm here for. When you're single, you look to me. When you're married, you look to your husband. I wouldn't expect that the husband would come to me to get all the answers. I would expect him to be spiritual enough to get answers from God for his household. Amen. I don't need to run your house. I don't even want to run your house. I can barely run mine. I got enough on my hands handling my house, let alone trying to duplicate it and make it your house. You husbands need to get to God for yourself. Right. You men need to know God for yourself. If you're single brothers, you need to know God for yourself. If you're single sisters, you need to know God for yourself. What does Brother Lockett say? You must be born again. Right. It's not enough to be around the Word. You got to be in the Word. And you got to have the Word in you. Amen. You and your father have to be one. Yes. Don't even talk about marriage if you're not born again. Amen. Do you realize the world don't even need to have a wedding? Right. A wedding is a Christian act. It's for the believers. It's for the saint of God. Yeah. You might as well move in together. If you don't believe in God, just go ahead and move in together. Right. He said, well, Brother Moore, you're telling them to move in? Yeah, they're heathens. Sure. God ain't worried about them and their marriage. They don't even trust God. They don't even know God. Right. Christian marriage is a Christian act between two believers in God. Amen. That's why it says those who God has joined together, yeah, let no man, yeah, put us under. If you're not joined together by God, let man put it under. Yeah. So if you're going to believe God, you're going to have to believe God according to his word. So if you're single and you're looking for a spouse, number one, you need to know the word of God. Number two, you need to have faith. Amen. Abraham believed God, and God counted it as righteousness to him. Amen. He wasn't trying to figure it out. Matter of fact, when Eliezer said, well, let me take Isaac, he said, no. No, let's follow what God's word said. Just like Jay was talking about Wednesday night. They wanted the Ark of the Covenant. David wanted the Ark back, and it was okay to want the Ark back. It wasn't even a bad idea. But the problem was he didn't consult the word of God. That's right. He said, well, they didn't have Bibles. They had the prophet. The prophet was the word of God to them. When the prophet spoke, that was God's word to them. Had they approached the prophet and asked the prophet about it, the prophet would have maybe even said, let's do it. But he wouldn't know how to do it. Yeah. See, you can't even do a marriage if you don't know how to do it. Yeah. Most people don't even know what a marriage is. Yeah. They think it's a 50-50 agreement between a man and a woman. That is not God's word. Amen. David, if he had approached God right, God would have told him he needed a priest to put the ark on their shoulders. Yeah. And he would have put the priest out front, yeah, and he would have done everything that God did that moved the ark before. Yeah. Had the musicians, had the tambourines, had the priests, yeah, had the everything right in line. And if you line your life up with God's word, God will bless you. Amen. If you don't line your life up with God's word, you're already cursed. Amen. God don't have to curse you. People think God's going to curse you. You're cursed if you're not a believer. Amen. You say, when did I get cursed? In the garden. You got cursed way back then. And only the believers have a way out of the curse. That's called being born again. That's called following the word of God. So here Abraham wanted a wife for his son. And Abraham said, I'm going to send Eliezer, my favorite and most important servant, to find a wife. Number one, you need an Eliezer. Eliezer is somebody who's going to stand in the gap between him and her. Somebody will stand in the gap and make sure that the right one's chosen. And Abraham said, I want you to go out of here. I don't want you to go out into the world of the Canaanites. Come on. Amen. Some people think they can just pick anybody up. No. You can't just pick anybody up. Right. You got to go by God's chosen vessels. Yeah. You got to choose somebody that God loves. Amen. You know, I'd rather you have somebody in the house of God than anybody out in the world. Amen. Because you're taking chances when you go out in the world. Oh, you might look up and get somebody that God will bless you with. But you know, that's the grace of God. Amen. That's the grace of God. Amen. But Abraham wasn't going to take no chances. Abraham said, don't even go by the Canaanites. I don't want nobody in my family married to a Canaanite. I don't want somebody that's married to the world. You say, well, it doesn't matter whether they're in the world or in the church. It does matter. Amen. You don't put two people that are unequally yoked together. If you do that, you automatically have problems. So you need to find somebody. No matter how long it takes, find somebody that's going to be a match for you. Don't go by way of the Canaanites. Don't go by the way of the world. Don't go out here and try to find them. You know what? Our young people did that. How'd that work out for them? Sitting at home today. Married somebody that don't even believe. Male or female. If he believes and he marries an unbeliever, then she's going to be pulling the whole time trying to get him out of the house of God because she don't want to be here. If she's a believer and she gets a man out there that's an unbeliever, he's going to pull in the whole time trying to get her out of the house of God because he's an unbeliever. Don't go by way of the Canaanites. Find you somebody that's a believer, somebody that believes the word of God. That's the first thing right there. The first question I have to ask, Clarice, do you believe the word of God? All the word. Not some of it, not most of it, but all of it. Can you eat the whole book? She should be asking me, Nate, are you a believer of the word? Do you believe the word? The whole word, all the word, the whole book. If you don't start there, you're already messing up. You're going after her because of her skirt, you're messing up. You're going after him because of his muscles, you're messing up. You're going about because y'all good alone together out there. You might get along together and you might be compatible with the world, but we're not trying to get everybody ready for the world. We're trying to get people ready for the word.
Amen.
Right. The only reason you get married is to help each other serve God.
Amen.
I'll take a drink of water on that. Let you think about it a little bit. Because sometimes we think we're getting married because we're so in love. You know what? You don't even know what love is when you get married. Love is not a pretty set of eyes. Love is not a handsome man. Love is not somebody's got money. Love is not somebody that can take care of you all your life and you don't have to worry about a thing. That's not love. You don't even know love until you learn it. You learn how to love. Without it being tried, it's not even love. How do you know it's love? Because she stuck with me. How do you know it's love? Because he stuck with me. How do you know it's love? Because we share the same thing. We both love God. I love you because I love God. I love Clarice because I love God. But do you know that your love for your spouse is just a filial love? A temporary. Go on, scoot over there all you want to. Filial love is just a temporary love. He said, but he's going to be my husband on the other side. No, he's not. He's going to be your brother.
Amen.
She's going to be my wife on the other side. No, she's not. She's going to be your sister.
Amen.
It's a temporary love. Jay told us Wednesday night, we try to build something eternal on something temporal.
Right.
Didn't know I'd go in there, but I'm here now. I got a kick and stroke at this point. We try to build our houses on a temporary love, but you better have more than that. Do you know you could love each other with a filial love, serve each other, stay together all your life, grow old and die? You don't need God to have a love for each other. You can have a filial love for somebody all their life. There's many atheists that has a wife or a husband that love each other all the days of their lives. So see, it's not about trying to just love somebody. You need to find somebody that'll help you love what you really love.
Amen.
You got an eternal love if you're a seed of God. And if you got an eternal love, that has no beginning and no ending. You want somebody that'll help satisfy that love.
Amen.
That's why you don't go by way of the Canaanites. You want somebody that's going to help. Because the real thing about it is we're here to serve God.
Right.
Period.
Right.
If you're single, you're here to serve God. If you're married, you're here to serve God. If you're widowed, you're here to serve God. If you're divorced, you're here to serve God. Only common denominator, we're here to serve God.
Right.
And we spend so much time bogging down on the temporary stuff. And I love that, Jay Wednesday. We determine whether we're going to be a husband and wife because of something temporal. Name it. Name it. It's temporal. And we'll determine whether we're going to marry somebody over something temporal. How big of a diamond he buys me. How big is the house? My house had better have 3 bathrooms in it if that man's going to take me home. And he's in an apartment with only 1 bathroom. I ain't marrying him. That's the way we think. What kind of job he has? How much money can she bring to the table? That's the stuff we look at. And we get carried away with that temporal stuff and don't even take the time to find out if they're even eternal. Because if you're eternal, your life is here to serve God. I'm here to serve God whether I'm married, I'm single, I'm divorced, I'm widowed. Those are temporal things. That doesn't determine whether I'm going to serve God or not. And we're trying to pick out the man that he's got to have this and he's got to have that. And you might have a man sitting right in front of you that's as eternal as you are. And you go out here and pick some old Canaanite.
Right. Yeah.
And then you marry that thing. Yeah. And the whole time you're together, he's pulling on you. Let's go for a picnic Sunday morning. But I got church. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go shopping on Wednesday evening. But I got church. Oh, I'm sorry. And after a while, and the thing about it, let me say this. I'll get to this, but let me tell y'all. Amen, if you don't take your role serious, Satan, whether you're the woman or the man, if you don't take your role serious, Satan will roll over you. Amen. His whole goal is to destroy your home. He's so set on destroying you that he wants you to marry a Canaanite. He wants you to get the wrong one. Because then he's in your home. When you're single, you can serve God as a single. And Satan's blocked out. He can't do much. But then he'll get you a Canaanite. And then he's got into your house. And like Brother Childers always says, they don't start out as a big snake. They ain't going to start out keeping you out of church. They ain't going to start out taking your kids. They ain't going to start out trying to divorce you over all that stuff. They're going to start out with some small things. Little things that if you're not a real man or a real woman or a real spiritual, you won't even notice. And they'll start working its way into your household. Same way he does a church. Satan doesn't just destroy a church. He comes in here as a Canaanite. He comes in here as your brother. He comes in here as your sister. And they don't come and take the whole place over. They just start throwing a little poison in there. Just a little leaven. Oh, I didn't like that song Jay sang. Oh, Jay sang that song in the wrong key. He needed a better key so I can use my good voice. I can't sing in that key. And that's where it starts. And just a little bit of disagreement. Your divorce doesn't happen because of a little bit of disagreement. Your divorce happens because you had a whole period of time that Satan's been rocking your household. By the time you call the pastor in, the house is already burnt. A lot of times you can't put a fire out if it gets too far gone. You say, save my house. You like, save the water. It's a total loss. And we don't know how to pick a spouse because we're trying to pick a spouse on a temporary thing that will move, change, and end. But I'd rather be single and serve God on that eternal love than have some spouse that's going to be always pulling against me. Oh, I know we want to get married. We pine after it. We want a husband. We want a wife. We want a but think of really what the real picture is. You don't want somebody who don't want you. You don't want somebody who don't want God.
He said, but it'll be hard by yourself. It'll be harder with him. You got to make sure you got a believer on your hand. That's why Abraham said, don't go by the Canaanites. I don't want a Canaanite as a daughter-in-law. I don't want a Canaanite as somebody, because they don't believe.
Right.
You need to find you somebody that believes God. God was trying to show you how he did it. He doesn't just accept any old body. He told him to go by my family. See, you need somebody that's in the family. You need somebody that's part of the family. I heard this morning Sway say, I'm part of her family. That's what you need to find who your family really is. Find out who really is your brother. When they come and told Jesus, Mary's out there looking for you, Jesus said, who is my brother? Who is my mother? Those that do my will. If you want to know who your real brother and sisters are, you find those that are in the will of God, you'll find your real brother. Don't go by way to the Canaanites. Go to the fam. Go to my family. God wants us to go to his family. He's the only one that can legally marry a brother to a sister. I had to laugh at that. He's the only one that can legally marry a brother to a sister. Y'all nervous because Abraham was telling him to go to get him a cousin. God's doing brother to sister. You got to understand. You're talking eternal versus temporal. You're not my brother in the temporal. You're not my sister in the temporal. But you are my brother and sister in the eternal. Temporary brothers and sisters will only last as long as your life is here. We try to base things on temporal things. But Abraham understood how it worked. Abraham said, go to my family. My advice to you, as I get ready to move on, is you get somebody that's in the family. You say, well, I'll take a chance. A lot of people have. Go down this aisleway, look at these pictures, and look at all the people who took a chance and see where they are today. So she don't take over the house right away. She don't really believe in the headship that we preach here. She really don't. But she ain't going to say nothing right away because she wants that man. He ain't as strong as he acts like. He really don't believe in headship the way we teach it here. But he's going to go along to get along. Because that's his weakness. He'll go along to get along. See, have you ever seen a man that goes along to get along? He's weak. He's not a leader. See, a man's got to be a leader in his home. You better find you a man that's a leader. You say, well, I ain't going to lead my home. I ain't going to have my husband. Then you know what? Canaanite? Let him know before you marry him. Let him know the whole thing. Just be honest. So, hey, if you don't believe it, just tell him. Kevin, no, bub. I don't believe that. Kevin, like, okay. If he's smart. But you got to get somebody that's your brother, that's your sister. Somebody that's in the family. Because a lot of people aren't in the family. They act like it. They're around the family. I had a lot of people hanging around the Moors. Because we're fun people. And they like to hang out. Wish they were a Moor. On and on and on. But they really weren't part of the family. There's a lot of people hanging around church. See, that's what you got to watch. A lot of people hang around church. They like the idea of being in church. They like, it's fun. It's a fun place. It's a good family. Having people that care for you, having people that come and visit you, talk with you, and just, oh, share and do all kinds. If they have two bowls of soup, if they have one bowl of soup, they'll split it in half and give you part. My, those are good people. Good people to be around. But I'm not trying to get you to be around the Christians. I'm trying to get you to be a Christian. I want you to be a part of the family. And that is only done by the blood tag. You have to have the blood of Jesus Christ covering your sins. And if that hasn't happened, don't even think about marriage until it does. Because until then, you're not my brother. You're not my sister. You must be born again. Abraham said, don't go by way of those Canaanites amongst whom I dwell. Oh, we're in the middle of them.
Yeah, we are.
We're living with them. They're your neighbors. They're your school buddies. They're the people you work with. Oh, you can go down and get you a barmaid. She's a Canaanite. Go get her. You can do it. You look good enough. But that's temporary. You want somebody who is sold out. Somebody that's going to be by your side serving God. Because really, it's about serving God. It's not even about, oh, we're going to make a home. No. No. It's about serving God. We're going to make a temporary home while we're serving God. We're going to have children temporarily while we're serving God. We're going to raise a family. We're going to build, put a garden out. And we're going to cut the grass. And we're going to wash dishes. We're going to do all these things, Sarah, temporary, Clarice. But the real purpose that we are together is to serve God. That's it. You say, well, y'all get along? Yeah, we get along. Because of God. She's different from me as night and day. But the one thing we have in common is we love God. We want to serve God. So if you want to look at an example, yeah, look at us. Look at us all you want. But it's just two people together temporarily to serve God eternally. We both have a love for the truth, and that's what's united us together. Our uniting isn't so much the temporal. Oh, yeah, we got married. We took the vows, till death do we part and all that. But that's still temporal because it said, till death do we part. When we die, we part. You say, I guess that's true. It's temporary. Our wedding is just, the marriage is temporary. Yes, it is. You were a brother and sister before you got married, and you'll be a brother and sister after you're dead and gone. You say, when I get to heaven, we're going to walk arm in arm. You may, but you know what? You ain't going to have that same love for your spouse. Not that filial. That filial love will be gone. You'll love your spouse because they serve God with you. And you'll thank them because they serve God with you. You'll love them because they serve God with you. That same way it is with our brothers and sisters here. Oh, yeah, we love each other. We love each other on this side, but that's with a filial. But I love you more than just with a filial love because you help put the word out. You help to do what God wants done. I was thinking when Isaiah talked about the Ark of the Covenant, I looked over there and said, you know what? That Ark has been going all the way through. And those people who loved God was able to get in that Ark right then. And here we are, sitting here together, loving God. Amen. We love you because we love God. So Abraham said, go get one of my family. And he said, and what I love about it, he said, but you should go to the country of my kindred, in verse 4, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Go into my kin. Go to my brothers and sisters. Marry in the Lord. That's the word of God. I ain't telling you something that God didn't say. I'm not doing it just to build a church of people marrying people, and people get mad at us. You know, we had people here married.
Won't mention any names, but you know them. Some of them have age differences. We had people get mad at us because we had age differences. But I'd rather you marry somebody that's older that's going to serve God than somebody that's not going to serve God if y'all are born on the same day. Oh, we've had color differences. And we get people all upset about color differences. But I'd rather you marry somebody of a different color that's your brother or your sister and serve God than for somebody to get somebody to see your same complexion and have them pull you out of the house of God. I've seen people the same color pull them out of church. I've seen size difference. Some are bigger, some are smaller.
You got to get somebody that's more like you.
None of it means a thing, Brother Lockett. None of it means a thing. You want somebody that's of your kinfolk. Somebody that's going to serve God with you. Somebody that you love. People have all this temporal stuff, like Jay said. I love that Wednesday night. They got all this temporal stuff that people are complaining about and wanting to have happen, and it doesn't even mean a hill of beans when it comes to eternity.
Amen.
Go to my country. Go to my church. Go to my kin. Go to my people. Go to believers. Go to Christians. Find you somebody that wants to serve God. See, that's where you got to get your cart behind the horse. You got to realize, number one, does this person have eternal life? Because I'm going to be serving God a long time. And to keep up with me, you're going to have to be eternal. So if you have eternal life, that's the first thing. And then you check your compatibility. Can we get along and serve God together? You said, but what about love? You know, what about love? I could hurt your feelings with love. I could hurt your feelings. Because number one, when you get married, you don't even know you love. You don't even know love. You don't know love until you go through something together. You don't. You don't know love until your wife's having pregnancy issues and she's got to be bedridden and you got to take care of her. Then your love comes out. She's like, "Why, that man does love me." When that man goes out and work and work and work and bring everything home and dump it in his wife's lap, say, "Here, do something with that." Brother Brown said that love is that man getting his lunchbox and going out to work every day. We don't even look at that. We don't call that love. You know what we call love? Open the door. Give me flowers. Hug on me. Kiss on me. Give me a bunch of love, love, love. They call all that love. That's lust. The guy only does it because he wants something from her. And it ain't agape love either. She only does it because she wants something temporal from him. Y'all ain't fooling me. Watch these couples. I walk down the street hand in hand. And I like, that guy, he'll do anything. To get what he wants. Honestly, it's just not in a man to just all the time, just, right, you know. But he'll do it. He'll do it because, you know. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't make me have to break it down. I don't think I have to, but you know what I'm talking about. He'll open the door. He'll bring her flowers. Bring her cake. Be real good, real nice, because he wants something. She's the same way. Don't act like your sisters ain't that way. Come on. But the thing about it, see, what you got to understand is the difference between the temporal and the eternal. Oh, you can do all that temporal stuff and have your way with it, enjoy it and all that, but it was all, when all the dust clears
and all the things are said and done, only what you do for Christ will last.
Amen.
So when you get that spouse, understand what you're dealing with. Don't try to look at her and base her eternal on temporal. Amen. Don't look at him as temporal and try to say that's eternal, that's God, because it's not. I don't care how good a man is or how good a woman is, they still have kids. Am I the only one that sees this? I mean, it's like, you know, because you look at someone like, oh, that's such a saint of God. But they still have a temporal, natural, carnal side to them. That's not eternal. But you need to build your house on something eternal. You need to get your mate by getting somebody that's got eternal life dwelling in them. Because the temporal things are only just that, temporal. All right, I think I've run over that enough. And the servant asked him, said, "Peradventure, the woman would not be willing to follow you. What if she don't want to come to church? What if she don't want to serve God? What if she don't want to get the faith that you have, Abraham? What should I do? Should I hog tie her up and drag her down and bring her back to the land, back to the word? Because that's where the land is. The word is the land. Should I drag her back into the land and make her serve God? No. No. It won't work. Abraham said, if she don't want to come, don't even worry about her. You're free from the oath. Do you realize that if you don't want to serve God, you don't have to. He's not going to make you love him. He's not going to make you serve him. He's not going to make you live a life that would be after his liking. Amen. If you don't want him, he don't want you. Amen. So drag her back to the land. Drag her back to the word. No, Abraham said, no. If she don't want to come, just leave. You're free from your oath. You know, Jesus said that he wished that no man would perish. But if you don't want it, you just don't want it. So in building your home, you need to understand what you're doing. You're not just getting two people together in the same house and calling it a home. Your goal as a Christian should be, I want a Christian home. I'm going to serve God for the rest of my life because I'm an eternal creature. I'm eternal. I want somebody that'll help me serve God. I've got somebody to help me serve God. When I get ready to leave the country, she's not going to stand in the door and hold me back. She's going to slide that suitcase over there and say, have a good trip. We'll be praying for you while you're gone. And when you get back, I'll be here. I'll take care of things while you're gone. That's a helpmate. If I didn't have a helpmate, I'd have to lock the house up, take care of things myself, try to figure it out and try to make it, and then pray to God that somebody don't break in while I'm gone and do all these things while I'm away and try to take care of the home. I'd have to worry about all those things. If you're single, you have to worry about the things of that. But you know what? Paul also said, I can serve God better single. So your helpmate should be somebody that's helping to help you do what is eternal, not just temporal. Temporal's fine. Going out to eat's fine. Sharing a meal's fine. Having a family's fine. Holding hands is fine. But realize what you're doing, whether you're feeding the eternal or the temporal. Because they're not the same. If you try to build your home on something temporal, it may or may not stand. So if she don't come back, I won't even hold it against you. Abram said unto him, beware that thou do not bring my son thither again. Jesus came once. He paid the price once. He ain't doing that again. He needed a bride. And he left everything, all the instructions, all the word that we need to be the bride. Amen. He left all of it. He don't have to come back here and say, no, I need to go back to Calvary and because y'all didn't get it the first time. No, no, no. Abraham said, God's words already said this. God's already promised me that Isaac was going to be, he was going to have children and Abraham's going to be the father of many nations. I already know that's going to happen. So I don't need you to take Isaac back down there again. Just take the word of God with you. See, when you take the word of God with you and he goes before you, you will get the right spouse. You will get the right home. You will have the right job. You will have the right home and right house. You'll live in the right neighborhood. You'll go to the right school. You go to the right job. Everything will fall into place because you have God first. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things. See, we get all this temporary stuff in the way. We appreciate each other by the temporal things. And you know what? The temporal things only last as long as they're temporary. We fuss and fight over temporary things. Husband and wife fuss and fight over temporary things. Destroy the house over temporary things. Clarice told you she broke my dad's clock. And that was close to my heart. And I was like, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. But it was a temporary thing. I wasn't going to destroy the house over a clock. You said, well, no, nobody would do that. People destroy the house over less. Yes. I found that clock's 100 years old. That's really, oh. But people get, they get divorced over the smallest things. Brothers and sisters fight over the smallest things. We get all upset so that we almost can't even control ourselves over the smallest things. And when you do that, it shows me that you're not looking at the eternal. You're looking at something temporary that's not even worth it. Churches split over things that are temporary. Homes split over things that are temporary. Brothers split over things that are temporary. Sisters split over things that are temporary. It's because you got your eyes on the wrong thing. Need to put your eyes on the eternal. This too shall pass. I don't care what you're going through, it will pass. When my wife and I are disagreeing on something and we have a disagreement, I don't worry too much about that because this too shall pass. You say, y'all disagree? Everybody disagrees. You're lying to yourself and to us if you say you don't. You get two minds, you get two thoughts, you get two ideas, you get two directions. And somebody's got to give. But because we have not stayed on the word of God, we men have given up our homes to our wives. And we let her make the final decisions. We let her run the roost. We let her do this. She'll hold the kids over your head. You serve God. And this is what she's saying. You serve God, now take the kids. Devil. It's Satan. He's in your home. And you know what? I'd rather give up my kids than give up God. I've seen it. I've seen it. It's better working that way out than trying to hold me hostage in my own house. You can live without your kids. You can't live without God. You say, I'll serve God in my own way. There's only one way. One truth. And one life. And when you sell out your home, don't sell out your home, Kevin. Sway, don't you try to take that home over. You've had 6 years to learn this. But the way that it works is the man's got to be the head of the house. It doesn't work any other way. You say, I'm going to give her 50%. I never seen one get 50%. That's like Russia. Russia took a little bit of Ukraine last time. Just enough to say, I want it. Now he's after the whole thing. Satan is never satisfied with just a little bit of leadership. He'll build on that. He'll build on that, and he'll destroy and tear down that house until he has the whole thing. He will have 100% if he gets it done. Now, I've seen it time and time again. Sad. Woman don't start out taking over the home. Sad. But she gets a little more power. Yep. A little more power. Next thing you know, the man's good. See, every time she takes power, he loses power. And I'm not talking about dominating spirits and trying to take the home. I'm talking about the power of the leadership. If I gave y'all the authority to run this church, you'd do it. If I had a weak pastor and just let y'all get away with anything, you'd do it. And not even because, now right now you're in all sweet and loving and kind and all that. But if I would give up the pastorship and the authority that I have as pastor and let you start deciding when and where and what, this place would be a wreck.
Right.
And I've seen Holmes do it. She gets stronger. He gets weaker. She gets stronger. He gets weaker. She gets stronger. He gets weaker. Then she starts demanding. You're going to spend more time with your family than with that family. You're going to give to us and not them. See, she started looking at the temporal instead of the eternal. You know, the best thing you do for your kids is put them in Sunday school. Why in the world would you try to raise kids out there in Canaan, in the Canaan land? They don't know nothing about God out there. They don't even believe in God. And then you're going to turn your kids over to them with no kind of Christian background or nothing to counteract what Satan's pouring on them?
Right. Yeah. Amen, Lord. Come on.
If they make it out, it'll be the grace of God. Because where are they going to learn about God? They're not getting it home. Because I asked a brother one time, I said, because he, you know, his wife took over. I asked him, I said, what do y'all do at home? Do y'all even pray for meals? I mean, I was just curious. I said, do y'all even, oh, we don't talk about God at all. Oh my, what kind of home would that be that you can't even talk about God? I said, do y'all pray over your meals? Or do, you know, it's sort of hypocritical to pray over your meals when you don't believe in God. That's like sisters leaving the church, but they won't wear pants because they're going to keep the dress on to show that they believe God. It's like, you left the word.
Right.
And it's like, what do y'all do? How does your home function? And I watch, because I got families doing that. And I watch. I say, well, let's just see what the kids do. You know, let's see how they act. Let's see where they're getting their spiritual guidance. Because man's already sold out.
Right.
So he can't give it to him. And the woman, she's got her idea of what it is, and she can't give it to him. So they're not getting it from home. School? Are you serious? So see, the world is gone. And when we start selling out our homes, the man loses his role, the woman loses her role, and she starts demanding. She's out of her place. And it doesn't mean the wife's place is a bad place. It's a perfect place for her. And the husband has a perfect place for him. And when you're both in your place, then you work together for that eternal purpose of God. But if she don't want to come, don't worry about her. Abraham wanted a bride for Isaac from his family. Abraham did not want to take it from the unbelievers. And you should take your bride from the family. Brother Branham said, now, if the spiritual or the natural is a type of the spiritual, then choosing of a bride in the natural is a type of choosing of a bride in the spiritual. I listened to that service yesterday. That's a really good service. That's a good service to listen to. It's tough. I was listening to it yesterday. I was like, ooh, Brother Brown, he's hitting hard. Because people are out of their place. Now, it's a serious thing when we go to choose a wife, a man, for the vow his until death do we part. That's how we should keep it. And you took that vow before God. The only deaths will separate you.
And I think we should, a man in his right mind that's planning a future, that he should choose a wife very careful. Be careful what you're doing. And that woman choosing a husband or accepting the choice of a husband should be real careful what she's doing. And especially in these days, a man should think and pray before he chooses a wife. Don't just take her because she's the next one in line. No. Don't just take him because he's the last one left. That's what people do. I hate matchmaking, by the way, just so you know. I hate matchmaking. Always have since I was 19. I come here and everybody's trying to matchmake this with that one. I couldn't stand it. So no, we don't matchmake. But when God joins two together, let no man put us under. We try to look at it as the way God looks at it. And we look at the Word of God and say, you know what? I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to find somebody that will serve God with me. That's what marriage is about. Really, finding somebody that will serve God with you. But don't do it without praying about it. A man should look for character in a bride. Like Rebecca. Now listen to Genesis chapter 24, same chapter. Just jumping on further down in the story to save time. Verse 13. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. Now remember, he'd already been given the orders to go to Abraham's family, and he did. And he's standing there by the well of water. And he said, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass, listen to the prophet, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. And there's a man that believed God. That's a man that believed God. And you know where he got the faith from, Abraham? Yep. Remember, his original idea was, let me take Isaac with me. Yeah. And I'm going to go down, and Abraham said, no. That ain't faith. Right. I want you to, by faith, trust God, believe God, and let God choose who it's going to be. Right. You need to trust God, have faith, and let God choose who your mate's going to be. Amen. So he put this fleece out there. I remember one time I was wanting to talk to Clarice, and I forget what it was, but I said, God, if I'm supposed to see her, let me find her downtown in the middle of town in Dayton. At rush, it was at like middle of the day or 5 o'clock or something. So let me find her if I'm supposed to talk to her. And I drove down there, and who did I see crossing 3rd and Main? And I forget what it was. It was something important, and I needed to talk about something. And I just put it out there. So sometimes you can put it out there. Ask God. You know, ask him. He's real.
He is right.
He'll answer you.
Oh, yes.
He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you whether it's a good move or a bad move. Amen. He'll tell you if she's the right one or if he's the right one. He'll tell you these things. And you say, well, I know people who got the wrong one. Well, he got the wrong one, but they were the right one for the time. Sometimes we got all carried away with, oh, I got one, and we ended up divorced. He said, but you got 3 kids.
Yeah, right.
Blessings from God out of that marriage. Right. Count your blessings. Amen. We spend so much time on these temporary issues and problems. And, oh, if God was with me, wouldn't have had this. This wouldn't have happened. Yes, it would have, because it took that to get you here.
Right. Right.
All things work together for good.
Amen.
To them that love God. And are the called according to his purpose, his eternal plan, his eternal will. So he threw that fleece out there and said, all right, Lord, I'm going to test you. I'm going to put it out here. Let her come and let her water me. See, he's looking for character. And there's a lot of people who come to the well and would have dipped water and wouldn't have given him nothing. He wouldn't have got a drink. And there were other people who would have come to the well and they would have given him drink.
But he thought, let's make this a little harder. He had 10 camels with him. You know how much water camels drink? 10 camels. He's like, I'm going to fix this wagon. God, if it's you, it's like when the children of Israel said, God, if it's you, I want the dew to drop on the bottom side of the bread. See, we put things out there so it's impossible. So he said, if it's her, whoever's going to be, Lord, I'm going to put it so that she's going to not only give me a drink, she's going to also give all my camels a drink. There were 10 of them. That's pretty, you know, she might have come out and said, you know, one or two, yeah, but 10. It's like, okay, go back for more. But he put that fleece out there because he knew he was looking for character. I looked up the character. Let me jump down there for a minute. Character. It's the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. That's character. If you have character, you have some qualities about you. And he was looking for somebody who had qualities about her. He wasn't just looking for a girl. See, a lot of times we just look for a girl. We think, oh, I can just get a girl. I'll be ready, set for life. No, you don't just want a girl. You don't just want a guy. Because once they get in that house, they're either going to make or break your home. So you don't just want a girl or a guy. You want who God wants. And you need to put a fleece out there. So, Lord, if it's you, she's going to have to be able to do this, 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 walk on water, oh, no, da, da, da. And if it's him, Lord, he's going to be able to fly. And this, put something out there that's, you know, make sure. You want to be very sure that it's who God wants you to have. And so he said, if she comes and gives us all this water and stuff, then she's got to be a woman with character. And jump down to verse 18. And she said, drink, my Lord. Here's Rebecca. She come up. Didn't know the guy, but helped him out. Drink, my Lord. And she hastened. She didn't just slug around. You know, some people, they're just so lazy. You almost want to sit them down for them just before they fall over. They don't have nothing about them. You know, I've seen people, they wouldn't work if you... He held a gun in their head. If you girls are looking for a guy and he don't have a job, that's the answer to your fleece. If she's so lazy, she can't cook, she don't even know how to talk to you, can't come. She ain't trying to do nothing for the church. It's like, you know how to get in the church? They got in that key out, that lock out there. I don't know how to get in. And she's so lazy, she ain't never asked nobody how to get in. I said, you don't need her. You don't need. She ain't done nothing. She ain't done nothing for God. Look up on the board. The guy never set up, never signed up for cutting grass. Just keep on walking. You want somebody who's going to serve God with you. You don't have to drag them along and prod them along and baby them, put breadcrumbs all the way to the house of God. Come on, we're going to church today. We're going to go to church. No. You want somebody who's going to be like Isaiah said. Micah's like, come on, Daddy. You're moving too slow. Come on, Daddy. I got to get to the house of God. Yeah. Now, you young sister should be saying, mm-hmm. Check. Check. You want somebody who wants to serve God. You want somebody that's excited about this thing. You want somebody who wants to be a part of this thing. You want somebody you got to drag off. I don't have to drag you all the way to heaven. I want somebody with some character in them. Character's not given. That's earned. You do something to get character. You work for character. You want somebody that's got some character about them. Somebody that loves God, somebody that cares for God, somebody that served God when they're single, let alone married. A lot of people say, well, when I get married, I'll serve God. I don't want you. If you don't serve God when you're single, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. Brother Branham said, if you don't serve God by the age of 21, chances are you will never do it. Brother, when I read that quote, and Brother Chill was like, I never read that. He was taken back. He's like, whoa, that's a hard saying. Serve God in your youth. Don't wait till you get old. We say, well, when I get married, I'm going to serve God. Well, when I turn 30, I'm going to serve God. When I'm, you know what? Brother Childers said this. God told him, said, Brother Childers, when I get this much money, I'm going to give it. I'm going to give you a lot of money. I'm going to give it to the church. Brother Childers said, he'll never do it. He was stingy when he had a dollar. If you're stingy when you got a dollar, you'll be stingy if you had a million. If you're lazy when you're single, you'll be lazy when you're married. Yeah. If you don't serve God in your youth, you won't serve him in your old age. Amen. Character's earned. Character's built. Character's put in you. You know, when I come here, I helped everybody. I helped build. I helped run. I would go with Don and run electrical wire. I helped him to wire Glenn's house. That's where I got electrocuted. But character in you. I help Brother Childers. I help the body. I help the church. I help myself. I got character put in me. You don't come here and just sit on a bench. You don't gain character by sitting on a bench. You don't gain character by just sitting around the people of God. You got to get involved. Amen. Don't be late. Don't be lazy. If you're late to church, you're late to everything. You're lazy in serving God and even getting to the house of God. You're lazy across the board. You need to be enthused about this thing. Run into the house of God. This is where your life comes from. And if I can't get you excited about this, there ain't nothing else in this world that's going to help you. So I'll get there when I get there. Don't even come. Amen. With that attitude, God can't use you anyway. Right. He might have wanted to testify with you, and you're so late that the testimony's over. Amen. What good are you? Amen. Get a little character about you.
Yeah.
Care about the way you look. Care about the way you dress. You're representing God. Have a little character about you. Have a little care about yourself.
Yeah.
I don't just come in here any old way.
Right.
I don't just come slopping in here.
Preach.
Well, time to get to the house of God.
Preach.
Yeah, I'll get on in here. No. Have a little pride about yourself.
Amen.
Look at yourself in the mirror before you walk out. Understand you're going to see God. You ain't going to have no character if you don't push.
Come on.
I can't stand a lazy man. No push about him. No get up and go. You got to get up. Remember Brother Childers? He's a man that pushed. And I was out there working with him one day, and he ain't easy to work for. And we had another minister out there working with us, Brother Brian. Lazy as the day was long. And our job, when Brother Childers would take these pipes on this bobcat, he would take them and drop them down in a ditch. Right. And he'd let them go, and he'd go up to get the next pipe. Well, the chains are still down there.
Yeah.
And our job, my job and Brian's, was to get those chains and get them back up the hill. Right. Right. So I grabbed the chain. They were heavy. Yeah. I grabbed the chain, my little skinny self, run them back up the hill. Brian, grab a chain. Yeah. Brother Childers barking at him. Come on, Brian. Come on, Brian. Get up here, Brian. Bring that chain. He never hollered at me one time. No. Hollered at Brian constantly.
Run, Brian.
Run. Brian. Run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, run before you learn to walk. Till you learn to walk, run. Because when you walk, you can tell a lazy man even by the way he walks. Not even, don't have nothing in him to even get his feet up off the ground. Lazy.
You're right.
I got on a hay wagon. They had me up there working, and I had a guy working with me who was, he had a little mental issue, so he wasn't worth working, and he really wasn't doing nothing. So I was over there, and I was grabbing the hay from him who he'd get it off the belt, turn around, and by that time I'm there. I'd grab it, run over there, stack it. Grab it, run back, and get the next one. He just, all he did was turn and get off the belt. And I was doing that, and I got so hot because I get overheated easily. And somebody told Brother Chills, you better get that man off that wagon. He's going to pass out. But give it something.
Amen.
Have a little character about yourself.
Amen.
A little get up and go.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
If you're a lazy old man, it's because you're a lazy young man.
Amen.
Apply that to the sisters, too. I don't have time to go over that again. So he was looking for some character in Rebecca. And she come out there with haste. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Not when they get, you know, those camels have those big humps. They can hold a lot of water. She didn't say, I'm going to do this just to give them a taste of water. No, I'm going to give them enough water till it fills them up. Because I know you got a long journey back wherever you're going. So I'm going to pour water and pour. And it wasn't just one little bucket of water. Y'all are like, oh, I'd have given a bucket. It's probably 10 or 15 per camel. And it wasn't she went over to the water spigot and just turned it on. She went over to the well.
Amen.
Hastened over, poured it in the trough, ran back, did it time after time after time and again. And don't you think that that was telling Eliezer something about her character? He's like, oh, my Lord. He didn't even say nothing. He just sat back and watched. He's like, oh, my, I can't even say a word. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I'll draw the water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hastened again and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again. Ran, not walked. Some of y'all would have been, you know, I'm doing them a favor. So I'll eventually get it done. I'm going to do it in my sweet time. I'm serving God, but it's about me. And I'll get to church when I want. I'll testify when I want. I'll sing when I want. I'll use my talent when I want. I ain't cutting nobody's grass. I ain't cleaning nobody's toilet. That didn't run through y'all's head. But she hastened. She had character about her. I like somebody who's got some character. I like somebody who wants to serve God. What enthused me about Skyler when he first come, he come in his suit and his Bible under his arm, by himself. I said, ooh, look at there. That's somebody got some character about him. God can use that. Don't pour water on, when you find somebody's got character, don't pour water on them, pump it up. Get more character. You get. I did one thing for Brother Childers. He didn't stop, he gave me something else. Then I did another thing for Brother Childers. He gave me something else. What was he doing? Building character. He's trying to see how much I can handle. Because eventually he's going to give me the church. It's like he needed to find out whether I had the character to be able to do the job. And then they finally said, well, next one up when I'm finished, Brother Moore, Brother Nate. That's what he comes. Brother Nate, he's going to be the next one up. I'm like, God, I come before he does that. There's no way. Because I didn't even know. I didn't know how much character I had. He said, oh, I said, Brother Childers, I don't feel like nobody's pastor. He said, ah, oh, brother. He said, when that time comes, that anointing will come on you, and it'll do the job then. The reason you don't feel it now, because I'm the pastor. I said, okay. And lo and behold, did it not come to pass? But you're looking for somebody that has the character to serve God. I don't just want anybody in here serving God. I want you to have character. I want you to serve God in your youth. I want you to begin now serving God and serving with haste.
Yes. Amen.
Brother Reggie come here, and he didn't know he only had a few years with us, but he came here with haste. He come here singing. He come here preaching. He come here directing a choir, starting a choir, doing all these things, went everywhere, did all this stuff with us, and Reggie was gone like that. He did more in a few years he was here than some of us have done in all our years. I just leave the X there. You know how many years you've been here. But if you're going to have character about it, don't just be a churchy person. Have a little character about you. Serve God with gladness. Rejoice. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You should have joy. It shouldn't be a tooth pill to come to church. I got to go to church today. No, you should be on your toes. It's time for church. Come on, kids. Time for church. Come on, y'all. Let's get in the car. I get nervous. I start playing the piano about 9 o'clock in the morning because I'm nervous. I'm like, I can't wait to get there. I'm like, I'm waiting. So I sit there, and I try to put my nerves out on my fingertips at home. And I do that. I'm already on it at home. I'm like, oh, I'm ready to, you know, come out the gate. I'm waiting for the gate to open at home. And by the time I get here, I'm like, oh, oh. And then I'm sitting over there letting y'all testify. That's why I said if I saw some old sorry testimony coming forth, I'd set y'all down in a minute. I was like, sit down, like Jay did Wednesday. Sit down, we're singing two songs, and I'm got it. I'm going to lead the songs so I'll know how long they go, and I'm going to cut them off when I get ready, and don't nobody move because I got the mic on already, so they don't even think about testifying. What can you say? That's character. That's somebody's ready, somebody's willing, somebody's eager. That's the way we should be serving God. Serving with haste. Amen. Don't come dragging in here. Well, I guess I come to church today. Amen. Don't do yourself no favors. If this is that awful, stay away. That's my advice. That's my advice. But she did everything she did in haste. She wasn't, you know, I hate slow people. People just can't get nowhere. You talk to them. They got to draw this big old picture. They're just slow in their explanation. And then they go to work, and they can't work. You know, I'm always nervous when I'm, I used to have a painting company. And I always was nervous whenever I heard my workers talking. It made me nervous because I know you can't talk and paint. Jay. And I'd get nervous because I'd hear them in their other room talk, because I'm in the room by myself just painting away. But in the other room, I hear, and sometimes I had to put my roller down. And sometimes I just walk through the room. And then the other time I say, hey, y'all need to start painting. We can't get this house done if y'all don't start painting. You know, just stand. And there's Christians are like that, some of them. They talk a lot, but ain't getting nothing done. They have a big talk, a big testimony. It's like, well, what have you done for Christ? Well, I prayed this morning. Yeah, that's a good start. Well, what have you done lately? You know, what character have you gained? What has he done to give you more character? Well, I prayed this morning. You got to get something accomplished. You always got to get something accomplished. Earl Childers. In serving God, you always got to get something accomplished. What have you accomplished for God today? Well, I made it to church. Praise God. Glad you're here. I couldn't tell you this if you weren't here. But with haste, she did what she did. She didn't slack around at all. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all of his camels, all 10 of them. And I hope they were one humpback camels instead of two. And the man wondering at her, he was amazed. He was looking for character, but he got everything he asked for and more. He didn't say a word. He just sat back and watched her going back and forth. It's like he was amazed at what she was doing. And the man wondered at her and held his peace, to wit what the Lord had made his journey prosperous, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He just wanted to see, is this God? And it was hard. It was impossible to deny. See, when you are doing the will of God, God will make sure that everybody sees what's going on. So when you're going to get a mate, you're looking for somebody that can serve God with gladness. Somebody that'll be by your side. Somebody that'll come to church with you. You know, you don't want to come to church and your wife is home, or come to church and your husband's home and you're hitting and missing and back and forth and all that. You want somebody, when it's time to go, I don't have to go out and tell Clary. I said, well, it's time to go. And I'm going out to the car. I know what's going to happen. She's going to be right behind me. I heard it this morning hollering to the Alexa on her way out the door. Well, that's like, you want somebody that's going to be there, somebody that you can depend on, somebody that's got character like that. Not sluggish. She got up and said, well, it's Sunday morning. It's a good day to sleep in. I think I'm just, you know, I know church starts at 10, but I'll get there about 10:45. You just go on without me. I don't even like coming to church without her. I think it's good for a husband and wife to ride to church together. I do. I know there's times you can't. Sometimes he comes from work, or she comes from work, or somebody, you know, somebody's got to leave. I know there's reasons. But a lot of times, you know, coming together, it speaks volumes. You know, Clary's been sitting, but you say, well, Clary's never sitting next to you in church. You know why? It's habit. When we were raising kids, she always sat there because I had three little knotheads next to her. And I always sat on the front because I could reach all three. And so now she still sits there on the second row, but that's just the way we've done it for 37 years. And it works for us. But some brothers sit with their wives, and some sit on the front and the wives in the back. And we got all kind of our. Only time I get a brother is when I see there's issues. When I see spirits, I'm like, whoa! When I see a brother over here and a sister over there, like, whoa, get together! They're both of your kids. Take care of them. You know, you do this together. It's a family. And so I encourage husbands to ride with their wife, because it's something that you can do together for the kingdom. And it teaches your kids that we go to church as a family. All right. When a young man is going to get married to a young woman, he must know the character of the young woman. Or the young woman must know the character of the young man. Something that she can hold to. Because everything else has changed but your character. Your age, your attraction, your this, your that. All that's iffy. But your character stays in there. That's what you need to look for. You got to have that character. If you don't have that character, the rest of it doesn't matter. Because it won't last. It's temporal. She has to have something to hold on to. Will this man be a just man? Will he make me the right type of husband? Will this woman give him in life what I expect out of her, loyalty and so forth? And then it's got to be somewhere that they can base their vows upon, knowing that there is something that will hold. And that's the reason we bring them to the church and the Word of God, to get this absolute tied. You need to find character in your future spouse. Find that character, and that character is going to be eternal, because that character will go with you. But over here, we tie that natural vow together with a natural wedding. That's why we do weddings. That's why believers do weddings. The world, they can do a wedding or not. They can get married or not. And now, Brother Branham talked about, I won't read it, but he talked about Abraham Lincoln. He said he was the greatest president that we had because he was full of character. He is full of character. He's raised by his mother. He read the Bible as a kid because that's how he learned to read. He read the Bible. Took the Bible everywhere. Even when he got to president and everywhere, he took his Bible. He kept that. He actually gave credit to his mother for his character. But Brother Brown said Abraham Lincoln had so much character in him. And he used that character to run the presidency. You can use your character to help you throughout your entire life. It's not just to come to church and have character. We take what we learn here and apply it at work. Apply it at home. Apply it in the neighborhood. Apply it at the store. We even, as leaders in our businesses and our jobs, we take the character that we learn here and apply it to there. We use the same terms to people at work. And it works. It really works. They're like, wow, you're so smart. It's not that. I learned that at church. I got that from the house of God. But you can't tell everybody that or they won't want it. When you're out there amongst the Canaanites, just use the words that you learn here and use the character that you pick up here, but don't tell them where it comes from. They don't want God. Over there in Mark chapter 10, those John, God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I won't read it because it's already 12 o'clock. Again, the kind of woman that a man would choose will reflect his ambition and his character. It's like a mirror. If I got some old Canaanite out there, and she ain't thinking about God, ain't worried about God, ain't worried about serving God, that reflects on me. I gotta high five Kevin.
Yeah.
Because he found somebody with character. And I know Kevin. Kevin was a bad boy. I helped raise him. And for him to find sway in somebody that loves God. That's what he's always said. I gotta find me somebody that loves God. I can't just have anybody. Kevin always short-tempered that way. I can't just have anybody. I find somebody that loves God. But that's what you want. You want somebody because the kind of person that you choose shows your character. And brother or the sister. If a man chooses the wrong woman, it reflects his character. And what he ties himself to shows truly what's in him. A woman reflects what's in the man. When he chooses her for a wife, it shows what's down in him. No matter what he says outside, or what he, it's watch what he marries. Amen. Rebecca made haste. I already mentioned that. And it was before he had even finished speaking the words to her. She already started manifesting. See, it's not after the marriage. People think, well, when I get married, I'll do it. Your manifestation starts now. Your character building starts now. If you're not, you say, well, up until this morning's message, I didn't have the character that I needed. It starts now. That's what I love about God. He never puts us in a position where there's just no way out. If you've never had any character until today, today's the first day of the rest of your life.
Amen.
Start building your character. How do I build my character? Start listening to the Word of God and acting upon it.
Amen.
Don't just amen me and then go home and do the same old things. Change.
Amen.
Work on it.
Amen.
Let God's character develop you into the person that He wants you to be because you don't even know who He wants you to be. Now I'm going to put this in here. Now, you can't have all things. There might be one girl that is real pretty. And the other girl, maybe her statue looks better than this one. Brother Brennan was very nice. He didn't want to say she was ugly. And you might have to sacrifice one for the other. But if she's not the statue of a lady or a woman, and I don't care whether she's pretty or not, you better look at her character, whether she's pretty or not.
Amen.
Now, for it is becoming, if a Christian would choose a wife, he ought to choose a genuine, born-again woman. Regardless of what she looks like, it's what she is. What makes her. And then again, it reflects his own godly character and reflects what is mine and what's going to be in the future. For his family will be raised by such a woman for the future plans for the home. When you're thinking about a wife, you've got to think about your home. When you think about a husband, you got to think about your home. You young people, think about that. Don't just go out here and get all messed up and then think, oh, well, I messed up now and well, I'm stuck with her or I'm stuck with him. No, run home. Get back to your family. Get back to the people of God. They're the only ones that are not going to hold anything against you. R. Eliezer, and I'll just say this and I'm going to close. R. Eliezer came looking for a bride according to Malachi 4. Brother Branham come here, and his whole job and purpose was for him to find a bride. One that could take the full word of God. One that could be born again. One that could receive the full word and go all the way with him. R. Eliezer, Brother Branham, came on the scene, and most people didn't want nothing to do with him. But he wasn't after them. He was after me. He was after you. People say, oh, I don't want to hear about William Branham. He ain't talking to you. Gone, you Canaanite. William Branham come to a specific Rebecca. A bride to be that was going to actually have character about her. And that character is what God was looking for in a bride at the end time, because we have things to do. And God was looking for us to be a special group, a special bride, a special woman who was going to be able to do what nobody else could do, because at the end time, it was all going to be put in the bride's hands. At the opening of those seven seals, that's where we got our character. That's where it was put on display. That's when we start really fulfilling the word that was for our day. And that word that, just think about Rebecca. When she watered those camels, she did not know that one of the 10 camels that were there was there for her. The same camel, Brother Branham said, that she watered was the same one that took her to the kingdom. And the same message that we water, same revelation that we've received, because our Eliezer gave us the word of God. And that same word that he brought us is the same word that's going to take us out of here. Our Eliezer did his job. And Lord, I can't read this. It's too long. But let me just sum it up like this. Remember that little washwoman? Guy was coming into town because he was looking for a wife. And he wanted a wife, but he couldn't find one in Chicago. So he come out to the country here where they were having this hoedown, and they had this big old party going on, and all the girls went to the party because they knew this guy was coming, and he had lots of money. His dad owned all the lands. He owned the cattle on the hills, on 1,000 hills. His dad owned everything. So they knew he was going to be there, and all the pretty girls and all the smart girls and all the people who were really something come to this dance. And he was there at the dance looking for one thing, and he couldn't find it. He looked at those pretty girls, and they were pretty. They were dressed up. They did all those things, and the party was going on, and he was just sick of it all. So what did he do? He walked outside. He said, I need some air. He went outside, and while he was standing out there, here comes a little washwoman out the back kitchen door. She wasn't pretty enough for the party. She wasn't dressed. She didn't even have shoes. Just a little washwoman dumping her water out of the back door. And he looked and he saw her. I thought, my, who is that? She didn't have all this fancy, flashy stuff, but she had character. While they're out there dancing and having a good time, she's in and working for the Lord. So he come back the next night. The next night, he was not looking for the old pretty girls. He was looking for her. He come back and sat out on the fence. He thought, by chance, I'll get to see her again. And lo and behold, she come out of that back door to dump the water, and he stopped her, talked to her, asked her about herself, asked who she was, asked her why she wasn't at the party, and said, oh, I can't go to those. I don't even have shoes. I'm not pretty like those girls. And she's down on herself, but he said, you know what? I come here for one thing. I come looking for a bride.
And I'm looking for somebody that's got character in them. When Eliezer came, he come looking for somebody that had character in them. He said, I tell you what, 1 year from today, I'm going to come and I'm going to take you back to Chicago. He said, I'm going to go prepare a place. I'm going to build a castle. I'm going to build you a house. She said, oh, I never had a house. I've never owned a house. He said, I'm going to go build you one. He said, 1 year from today, I'm coming to get you. Well, he went on about his business. And his old pretty girls got finished with the party. And she told him about him. They laughed at her. So he ain't coming. He'd say, you ain't talked to him. She said, oh, yes. I've met him. He loves me.
Oh, yes.
He's coming back for me. He told me he's going to prepare a place. Right. Way up in Chicago. He's going to build me a house. Yeah, right. And then why would he come to you? He just liked what I did, what I am. He just liked my character. They laughed at her. They laughed her to scorn. For a year they laughed at her. The whole year while she worked, she took her little money that she made, a little bit of money, not even a lot. Took her months and months and months of saving. But she saved all that money, bought her a wedding dress, because she had faith that he was going to keep his word.
Amen.
They laughed at her. They talked about her. That morning she got up, put on her wedding dress, got a little flowers, walked through the kitchen. Girls laughed at her. They said, you ain't nobody. You don't mean nothing to him. He's not coming for you. But he promised me. He promised me. He saw the character that he wanted in me. Out of all the churches, out of all the denominations, he loved us. Oh, it was only about 5 minutes before the time that he was supposed to show. She picked up her flowers. She just knew he was going to be there. And she started walking towards the door. While they were laughing at her, she was heading out of there. She knew he was going to keep his word. She said, he's a man of his word, and he's coming back for me. Oh, they laughed at her, but she started walking towards the door. Just about that time, the 5 minutes went up, and they could hear the chariots on the road. They could hear the wagon wheels turning. They stopped laughing then. Just stopped talking about her then. He kept her just like he said he would. He took her out of that place, pulled up, opened the door of that chariot, let her get in there. Home she went. God's looking for a bride with character, church. He doesn't just want us to be here in this building. He don't just want us to come to church. He wants us to have his character. Because just as much as a man would look for the character in his wife in a natural marriage, God is looking for character in his bride. And he will find it. Will God find faith when he returns? Yes, he will. How do you know? He's got to have it in me. The character that he's been putting in me all this time, that's what he loves. The character that he's put in you all this time, that's what he loves. That's what God's trying to do. He's trying to have for himself the right kind of marriage.
Amen.
If we'll want that in our own homes, how much more will God want it in his?
Amen.
He's choosing the right kind of wife. He's got the virtuous bride.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. We are what he wanted.
Amen.
They may laugh, but I'm holding to his promised word. He'll come after us just like he said. Oh, yeah. He said the Lord himself, the owner of it all, right, shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's history. Yeah. With a voice. The final voice to the final age is in the bride. The Spirit and the bride say, come. He's already in the midst. I can hear the wagon wheels. I can hear him coming this way. I can hear where he's coming back for what he promised he was going to take home with him. He wants the right kind of marriage even for himself. He's not asking you to do anything he's not doing. He wants the right kind of marriage. And he's got it. You say he does? Yes. Brother Branham said marriage here, supper there. We're not going there to get married. We're getting married now. When you're born again, you're getting married. And he's marrying you with your character right now. And then he'll take us to that home that he promised he was going to build for us. God help us to display his character. God help us to show him what's in us. Because what's in us should be reflecting what's in him. If a natural man would take a natural woman who will reflect him, how much more should we be reflecting Christ?
Amen. Amen.
When you see me, you see the Father. Less reflecting. Let's let his character come out through us. You say, well, I haven't done that up to this day. Today is your day. I've done it, but I haven't done a good enough job. Today is your day. I've done a good job, but I can do better. Today is your day. Let his character come out of you. Amen. Put it on display. Because that will be the right kind of marriage that he wants to have. God help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for a true marriage. The right kind of marriage. The one you showed us an example of in the natural type. But how much more important it is for us in the spiritual to be able to really look at a true marriage. Yes. Father, we thank you for that opportunity. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for coming and giving us everything we need to have that character built in us. Because when we see you face to face, Lord, we'll meet you in the middle of the field just like Rebecca met Isaac. And by that time, it's all over. She'd already accepted the bracelets. She'd already accepted the rings. She'd already knew in her heart. Lord, they asked her before she left. They said, can she stay with us for 10 more days? And they said, ask her. She's of age. Lord, this bride is of age. Amen. We can speak for ourselves now, Lord, knowing that we want to go with you. We're not being forced. It's not marriage by force, but it's a willingness to go and be a part of you. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for that camel that we were able to water that's now taking us, carrying us home. Help us, Father, to press and push and to be that bride that you're looking for in this hour. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. God help us to let that character be put on display in our lives. And what he shows you will be himself. What you'll be reflecting is what God said he wanted in a bride. So grateful that he let us be a part of it. So grateful that he gives us a chance to take his name Amen. I'm looking for something, but I don't even know what to look for. Amen. Go right ahead.
I just enjoyed that so much, you know, and I don't see how people can come here and just say it's the same thing over and over again. It's all washed up, whatever. It's like it's different every time. But he even got up before he started preaching and said it's nothing new that we haven't covered before, but he'd get up and say it in a different way, and the story was beautiful, and scriptures were perfect, and just I get so much out of it, you know, and I don't ever want to take this place for granted. I don't ever want to take this work for granted, and I know I've got friends in here that will rebuke my socks off if they see me slacking. So I'm just thankful for this.
Amen. 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 All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, Almighty God. Throughout all eternity, I'm going to praise him. Forever, I will reign with him. Amen. Come back tonight at 7 o'clock. For question and answer service. Looking forward to it. We haven't had one in a while, so it'll be good to get back in sync again. Amen. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. He's a king.
You're dismissed.